When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
All right, let's do this, everybody. Dairy Brothers Tribecast back for another week on WaitingForNextYear.com on a Monday, August 23rd. Tribe fresh off a sweep of the Los Angeles Angels, including last night's 3-0 win on national TV on ESPN. Of course, we're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry and BreakingTea.com. Matt and Todd with you. It was fun last night, Todd, watching Cal Quantrill deal. Although, as the Indians even put on their own Twitter account, the national TV broadcast from Williamsport, PA, wasn't giving the Tribe much love last night.
I thought that was the I thought we were watching the Alex Rodriguez happy hour. I mean, that, first of all, Cal Quantrill was so good last night, following up after how Tristan McKenzie was the day before in Cleveland. But Cal was so great, and I feel like it was completely glossed over. Do I need, you know, hey, did you guys know that Shohei Ohtani is a really good baseball player? Did you know that? Were you aware of him?
Well, I mean, he is.
You ever heard of this guy?
He is awesome. The interview.
I agree. Yeah,
the interview with Mike Trout was so boring. That guy is such a bore, and he's a great player, and he's the face of baseball, I guess. So he used to be. His teammate now is, but my gosh, interviewing Mike Trout is just a waste of time because he's boring. He's like that. Who's that one golfer that everybody says is so great, and then you interview him, and he's just a total bore?
I don't know. All of them, because I think golf's boring.
It'll come to me. It's, you know,
no,
everybody.
No.
DeChambeau's not boring. He's semi-entertaining because he's kind of a dick. But I'm trying to think of. It'll come to me on who it is. But
oh, I know what you're talking about. It's the guy. Mike Trout is the best player in baseball and has been for the better part of the last decade. But correct me if I'm wrong. I think he's won one playoff game and made one playoff appearance in his entire career. Am I right?
I know he's never won a playoff series, but yeah, I think he's
definitely
won a game.
Never won a series. Yeah, so I understand that he's up for the MVP every year and all that, and he's a wonderful player.
Oh, he's awesome.
But they need to. This is another topic for another time. But the most valuable player shouldn't be this guy who's the best player in baseball. And oh, look at his numbers are great. His team stinks. If your team's not good, you shouldn't win the MVP. That's my opinion. It should be. You want to have the most outstanding player award and the most valuable player award separately? That I get. But listen, Ohtani's going to win it this year.
Oh, yeah.
And he deserves it. But yeah. His team sucks.
Terrible.
Again,
the pitching sucks. If you really look at their lineup,
they're loaded. Yeah.
Right, that's why what McKenzie and Quantrill did this weekend was pretty good. Actually, Sam Hinches and Trevor Stephan pitched well Friday. So, like, you look up and go, man, David Fletcher's a perfect number two hitter. Ohtani leading off. I know Trout's hurt, but, you know, Walsh is an all-star. He scorches the ball. Adele's coming. Like, they, you know, Iglesias is good. Yeah, Rendon's hurt, but they're not. Yeah. Stassi's a good hitting catcher. Like, they've got a decent lineup.
No, I agree, but what I don't understand about that franchise, hey, here's some Angels talk for you.
George Sedano, 710 LA, let's talk.
I don't understand how they have never addressed their pitching.
Like, ever.
Their pitching sucks
like ever.
Every year.
Ever.
Although, of course, they have a World Series in the last 20 years and we don't. But regardless.
Well, you can thank Dusty Baker for that.
Yeah. I mean, the Indians took the Angels down by a combined score of 17-2.
How about that?
This weekend. And again, like, you brought it up, Hinches, you know, they didn't need to start Sam on Friday. They had an off day on Thursday, so they totally could have just skipped it and gone with Tristan on Friday. But Hinches and Trevor Stephan, I mean, That was beautiful. We talk about it nonstop, how this team, all they do is play close games. We finally got a laugher on Friday night. Wasn't that fun?
Like, but fun it is.
Minnesota series was fucking painful.
Oh, God. It's crazy about baseball is that, you know, you're right. We blow these games in Minnesota and you go, gosh, you know, we're just not very good. And you get all negative, and then you come back and you're playing the Angels, and here come the Angels fresh off a sweep of the unnamed team. They scored 13 runs on Thursday, and you're like, uh-oh. And then over the weekend, you're right. I mean, the thing that was the illuminator for me is the pitching, is that, man, next year you look up. I mean, Quantrill last night looked like an ace. Saturday night, McKenzie looked like an ace. Our good buddy Rob Parker, who does this MLBBro.com thing where they highlight African-American players, he did a little feature this morning about McKenzie calling him, you know, the black ace of the Indians. And it's like, I thought Shane Bieber was the ace. I thought Savali sometimes is the ace. Like, this is going to be a great thing for next year to line up Bieber, Savali, Plesac, Quantrill, and McKenzie. Pencil them in and let's go. I mean, this spring, we were talking about who's going to win the fourth job. Is it going to be Logan Allen or McKenzie? Who's going to be the fifth guy? Is it going to be Quantrill or, you know, or Logan Allen or somebody? So Cal was just dealing last night. First Indians pitcher, by the way, to allow less than two hits and strike out nine against the Angels since.
You want to make, I guess?
Yeah.
Can I get an era?
1991.
Candiotti.
Greg Swindell, July 18th, 1991. It turned out to be a no decision in a 5-4 loss.
I think you and I went to see his major league debut. Does that sound right to you?
I think Swindell? It does. Yeah, I think it does.
Did they get like destroyed? Was it like by the Red Sox? Like
yeah,
20. To 20
one or yeah, it was like 20-1.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. We were definitely there. All right, good stuff. So Quantrill has been unbelievable, but. And we talked about this last week, and because it was the day after he almost threw the perfect game. But for Tristan McKenzie to almost go perfect and then come back in his next start, and, you know, he only allowed the one earned run, but that was, you know, he walked the leadoff man in the eighth, and then they took him out, and the run came around to score. Seven innings, two hits, one earned run, eight Ks, and one walk. So in his last two starts, 15 innings pitched, he's given up three hits, striking out 19 and walking one, and only giving up that one run. That's incredible. For the month of August, he's only given up six runs in 28 innings, which is a 1.93 ERA. And the guy who was walking the park
yep.
for the first 2 months, 28 strikeouts and two walks this month. It's incredible.
It is. And this is how you win. Run prevention, and I know that the offense blows most of the time, and even last night, it's like, geez, how many more guys are we leave on base? Wouldn't it have been nice to have been 6-0 instead of 3-0? And, I mean, Zimmer last night looked like the Zimmer from April and May, just a windmill, and you go, oh, can we just get some hitting from the corner outfielders? But you still got to pitch, you know, and you know, that's why Tampa wins, because they somehow know how to pitch and get it done, And the Yankees, all of a sudden, their starting pitching has been really good lately, and that's why they're winning. And, you know, the Angels, you know, lineup's pretty good. Ohtani, we kept in check. It was nice to see. And look, they're back to 500. I know the executive producer was texting us this morning. He never thought he'd see us get back to 500, but it's a testament to the pitching and just to the guys playing hard. I mean, how many times do the Indians beat out would-be 6-4-3 double plays or infield hits or hustle doubles into set. We got guys playing hard, and it's all you can ask for. The team's a little bit flawed. The bullpen's got one guy you're relying on right now. Yet here they are back at 500.
You know, I think the reason why, and you're right about the base running, if you look up, you know, now you got at the top of the order, you have two of the fastest guys in baseball. I mean, they're both like 95 plus percentile in sprint speed, you know, in Miles Straw and Ahmed Rosario, your boy. But you look up and you take a look at that lineup last night in terms of pure speed. Straw and Rosario, fast guys. Jose Ramirez, super fast, always runs hard. Seth texted us, our friend Seth Forrest texted us. He couldn't believe that how hard J. Ram ran out of the box to break up that double play. Mercado hitting fifth, fast. Zimmer hitting sixth, fast. Owen Miller, good sprint speed. Andres Jimenez, good sprint. I mean, you have a bunch of guys who can run. So that part of it is good. The main issue and where in the line of construction right now and why this team is just dying for another real corner outfielder is, why would anybody pitch to, especially when it's Oscar Mercado hitting fifth, why would anyone give anything to Franmil Reyes to hit, right? I mean, last night you had Oscar hitting behind him. What were you going to pitch to, Oscar or Franmil Reyes?
Well, and you're right. Reyes now is finding himself, and I know he hit the home run over the weekend to kind of break out of this slump he's been in, but then last night he got right back to it because he's not swinging at strikes, because I wouldn't throw him any either. I mean, I'm with you. And I think it was the Minnesota game where Jose Ramirez was walked intentionally in one of those extra inning games. They're all a blur now. The game on Thursday was a disaster. But, you know, why would you even give pitch to Jose if first base is open ever? So, I think, you know.
Well, they did. You got to remember, though, earlier in the year, twice, Jose was pinched. It was the same team did it twice. And I know I was there for one of them. Was it Kansas City, maybe? And Franmil hit a home run.
Yes, it was the Royals, to walk it off.
I think they did it. I think they did it twice. But just to bring this back around to the pitching and just to put a bow on this, I think you're locked in with your five starters for next year. Aaron Civale pitched yesterday in Akron, his first outing. He went two innings, gave up no runs in two innings. I think he gave up, he walked one guy. But other than that, he was pretty clean. I still don't know what they're going to do with Shane Bieber. It sounds like they would like him to pitch a little bit by the end of the year. But I think that you have your five starters for next year and you're locked in. And then Eli Morgan is a very capable number six right behind him. And you know, he's gotten better and better. So, like you said, this team's going to win with pitching. And, you know, I don't see how, if you add payroll or you're at least going to add another outfielder, you know, or a real, you know, another real bat to go along with what you have, the way Ahmed Rosario has been swinging, we'll talk about him. Why can't this team contend for the wild card next year with those five starters and Class A at the back end? I mean, you got to, you know, you're piecing a few things together, and we're learning about some of the young guys in the pen. But there's no reason they can't compete next year for the wild card in the division, right?
Right. No, you're not at all. And look, the White Sox are superior when it comes to lineup construction and certainly their pitching. But, you know, look, things could go south when you have a powder keg in the dugout like they do as manager. And a few injuries, and, you know, I know the White Sox have had injuries this year, and they've played through them, and they've got a lot of depth, and they're going to be good for a while. But the Indians have played them very tough this year, and you're right. I mean, starting pitching still will neutralize a very good lineup, whether it has, you know, Tribe Killer Jose Abreu in there, or Tim Anderson, or Eloy, or whomever it is. You still win with starting pitching, and for the most part, Chicago's starting pitching has been healthy this year. But I'm with you. I mean, Buster Olney or somebody last night made the point, maybe it was Buster, said both of these teams feel good about next year. The Angels just have not been healthy. Trout's been out, and they've got some younger pitchers coming, and, you know, their lineup's going to be pretty good. And then the Indians, same thing. I mean, you went a majority of the season without your top three starters. Jose was out for a while. Franmil was out for a while. And they know they're in this threading the needle season. That next year they'll know a little bit more at the end of the year about what they have. And unfortunately, for people like you and me that watch the team every day, Todd, we kind of know that a lot of these guys are utility, and it's annoying. I wish somebody would elevate themselves and not be a utility guy. I mean, Zimmer looks like a fourth or fifth outfielder, Harold a fourth or fifth outfielder, Mercado fifth or sixth outfielder, Owen Miller looks like a utility guy. Is Owen Miller a regular? I don't know. No, Andres Jimenez, I mean, other than his 10 hopper singles into right field, he doesn't hit much. Is he an everyday guy? So, you know, shortstop, second base, wide open. What about Bobby Bradley? I think he's an everyday first baseman, but it's not a lock.
Nope, first base is wide open too. But here, we'll finish on this with the pitchers, and then we'll move on. Quantrill and McKenzie, let me give you their last 8 starts each. Quantrill, 48 innings pitched, 32 hits, 16 walks, 46 strikeouts, and a 1.50 ERA. Only 9 earned runs in 48 innings. McKenzie went 49 innings in his last start. 19 earned runs, 30 hits, 8 walks, 48 strikeouts for a 3.49 ERA. And he's only gotten stronger this month. So the future of this rotation is very, very bright. You have 5 guys next year that are locks, and they're going to compete. And I'm very excited about 2022. Just need one more real bat in that lineup to go along with that awesome starting pitching.
Oh, I would say 2 more bats.
Well, when I say one real bat, I'm not talking about
high impact bat?
Yes.
What about a right-handed power bat?
If you could get someone like Brian Reynolds from the Pirates, for example. You put Brian Reynolds in the outfield for the Indians, we got something going, right? I mean, that would be ideal.
Love
to have someone like him. Young and controllable, you know. The Indians are never going to sign Chris Bryant, right? He's going to make too much money on the open market. He's been great for San Francisco, but a guy like Chris Bryant, I mean, I know it's a pipe dream and it's never going to happen, but that's the kind of impact bat. They're one of those away.
They're not going to sign a second baseman or a shortstop because they've got so many in the system.
Right.
But they were talking on the unnamed broadcast yesterday about Marcus Semien. And they're like, wouldn't he be a nice fit here? And it's like, no, he put the final out of the game into first base and cost them the game yesterday. He's not a great fielder, but that's the kind of bat too. Free agent bat, right hand, you know.
That he's having a great season. You know who else is having a great season?
Tyler Naquin.
Ahmed Rosario, your boy.
All right, listen.
Can we talk? Do you want to take it from here, or can I? Before you do,
you can do whatever you want to roast me. Roast me. That's fine.
I just want to say this: over the last 80 games,
here we go.
Ahmed is hitting .316 with an OPS of 800, and he is making things happen. And this weekend, against the Angels,
he was dominant. He was dominant.
15 hits.
Dominant. All right, listen.
For this week, sorry, 15 hits. But he was so good all week. He was awesome. He's been great the entire month of August. And I think you need to apologize to Ahmed. Oh. So why don't you take the floor?
It's almost like that scene in the movie Stripes where they're walking down the street and they're like, where were you a couple blocks ago and I could have used you? because it was early in the year where we were all over. Well, I was all over this guy as just a guy, Ahmed Rosario, utility guy for the Stars, because he wasn't hitting. When he was hitting, it was a lot of slap singles, and the OPS was below 700. But I got to give him the nod, man. He has been on fire. He plays hard. He's hit the ball hard. He had extra base power lately. He's hit a couple of homers, including last night. I know that was a 321 wall scraper, but who cares? In a little league stadium, but who cares? It counts for 2 runs. As Rick Manning would say, it was a 2-pointer. Let's have that discussion sometime. My Lord. Although, you know,
that's the cheat. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Although last night's, and I'm such a Vasgersian fan, but when he's pitted with A-Rod, it's just painful. How is A-Rod so good on the Fox studio show? But then you get him in the booth, and it's god-awful.
He's the most unlikable, unprepared. He is such an egomaniac. He doesn't give a shit. I mean,
But he's not bad in the studio. He's not.
Unnamed reporter, friend of the podcast, texted me last night and said that, I don't understand why he is doing this. Like, there is no reason other than to feed his ego to be out there. I mean, this is the same
the
guy.
The story he told about Tito Francona was his manager. Tito Francona never managed the Rangers. He made it out like Tito. I went into the manager's office and Tito took me aside and said, don't, you know, love your hustle. It's like, I think Tito was a coach for 1 year with the Rangers in 2002. He was never the manager, but he made it sound like he played for him. When you talk about playing for somebody, that means they're the manager, not the coach. Such a weird story.
I think he likes going to the park and getting stroked by these younger players and getting stroked by the other media members because he's A-Rod.
Is he that important anymore? Do young kids know who he is?
Yeah, of course they do. They grew up, and he was one of the best players in baseball when they grew up.
Was he?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It was a long time ago.
Yes, he was a cheater, but...
It was a long time ago. When he was a thin rail playing for the Mariners and Rangers, he was great. The Yankees banished him, only to bring him back. And then when he hit his 500th, it was like, eh. People didn't go as crazy for him as they did when Jeter did his thing. Just saying.
So I can't remember how many years ago it was, but my friend Scott and I, he's from New York, Yankee fan, and he says to me,
Scott Sauerbach?
Silverman. Next time you see the Yankees play, when you go to see the Indians play the Yankees, just watch A-Rod at third. All he does is look in the stands for women. I'm like, no way. Sure enough, later in the season, I go. And this was back when we sat like right on third base. I watched him in between pitches. All he was doing was looking into the stands. It was and you can't say he's looking into his dugout because the first base dugout is his dugout. He's playing third. The guy is the worst. It's a terrible, terrible broadcast. And nobody likes it. And nobody likes him. For the life of me, I don't understand it. By the way, nice deflection of you in mid-apology.
Okay. Sorry. All right, so here we go. All right, Ahmed Rosario is more than just a guy. I was wrong. I apologize. I am rooting for him. I think his resurgence has a lot to do with your daughter being back in town, because when she was gone at camp, he didn't perform. Now she's been a big fan. She's constantly texting me and also on my case, which is well-deserved, because he's not just a guy, and I was wrong. Now, with that being said, I will stick to my guns on one thing. Ahmed Rosario, I apologize. You should be on this team next year and a key contributor, but not at shortstop. I think we all agree.
Yes.
He's limited defensively with his range. His arm's not bad, but even last night, the play up the middle where if he does a spin move and throw him out, it would have been a great play. And A-Rod even pointed out, you got to put your body in a certain spot. I think they've got to make the decision, second base or left or right field, and then put him there, teach him that, and let's go. Because he should not be at short. If we could open next year with Gabriel Arias at short and Ahmed at either left or right, I'd be good with that. And listen, he doesn't have to cover as much ground because Miles Straw is a freaking beast in center field. Beast.
I mean, how about that 1-2 with Straw and Ahmed? Since Straw has come over, those two just they're on-base machines all of a sudden, both of them. And the speed at the top, they just make things happen. I mean, the Indians are kind of playing a lost art offensively with getting on base and running. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we steal more bases than most teams, and we seem to try to go first to third or you know, last night it was Saturday. Ahmed got thrown out at home. It was a good relay.
Right. You'd argue early in the game you hold them, but we are aggressive. Yeah, we are aggressive.
Ahmed, we're aggressive, and I'll do 9 times out of 10. You got to make that perfect throw against someone like Ahmed with the kind of speed he has. I'm down for it. But Straw has been awesome. I'd love to see. To me, the best place for Ahmed is left field for next year. He's not going to hurt you defensively. He was fine in center. Put him in left. Let's go next spring left field. Teach him how to play. But also, one day in left field, one day at second base. One day in left field, one day at short. One day in left field, one day in right field. You know what I mean? Let's just make him the guy who's going to play every single day, but move him into different positions and rotate him and give everybody a day off. Even if you teach him some third base for a day so Jose can DH. I mean, I know you got Ernie who's done by the way, I've talked about this like 10 times. Ernie's defense in the infield is so freaking good. I personally would like to see him as the utility man, but Ahmed should be playing every day somewhere else. I'll tell you another thing. Bat speed's quick. You see why he was a top five prospect in baseball. Like, you can see it in there. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes
he's got very good.
Matt LaPorta was a top 10 prospect.
Oh,
but
God.
When you looked at Matt LaPorta, he was stiff and his swing was ugly and he was slow.
Gator for God?
or the late Andy Marte, top 3 prospect in baseball, and he needs got him. Remember, it looked like his Ags used to say this all the time. His bat looked like it was too long and heavy for him, and his swing was so long and so slow. But Ahmed, you can see it in there. I mean, I hope that right now the top 4 in that lineup should remain the top 4 in that lineup. That should be opening day 2022. I want to see Straw, Rosario, Ramirez, Reyes, the first 4, and then the next 5.
It's hard to argue, right? The next 5 you got to figure out. You know, if you move Ahmed to left field, at what point this year, Todd, do you then give him that opportunity, like you said, to maneuver him in a little bit? You got to hit September 1 before you do that.
I don't think you're going to do it this year. I think it's winter. I think because you still need.
Why
to
wouldn't
get
you do it now? Why wouldn't you do it now for a little bit?
Well, I'll tell you why.
No, I didn't, but I know it now.
You still need to give at bats to Daniel Johnson and Zimmer and Mercado, because 2 of those 3 will not be on the 40-man roster. And from what I have been gathering, 2 of those 3 are not going to be on the 40-man roster. And right now, Zimmer is far ahead of the other 2 for many reasons.
Right. He's had his moments. He's played well. And I read the Pluto. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I read the Pluto column Sunday, and it was like, I know it was Stat Central. Terry loves the stats. But, Zimmer's played better. I mean, last night he kind of went back to long swing over everything, Zimmer. But, yeah, for the speed he has, the defense, he's been better. And he's still under team control, not real expensive. Daniel Johnson, I mean, he turned on that one fastball in Minnesota this week and hit a bomb. But then
that was nice.
But then he doesn't do anything the whole weekend. So
yeah, but that's the thing. Like, there's not enough room for 5 4A outfielders. Do you know what I mean, on this 40-man roster? So I personally, I don't think you're going to see Oscar or Daniel Johnson on this team next year on the 40-man. I think they will both be non-tendered or designated for assignment, whatever it is. Oscar just. I don't know. It's not there. And he's not as good a defender as Zimmer. He's basically Zimmer, but a worse defender with less speed and less power. And that's not really somebody that I want to take up a key spot for a guy who's a potential, future part of this roster, because we've talked about this on this pod before, but the 40-man spots are going to be so key, because there's so many of the top prospects that are going to have to be added because of the Rule 5 draft, and the Indians are just loaded basically at the, double A, single to double A level that they're going to have to add guys. And even a guy like Cody Morris, who we didn't talk about, who is knocking on the door to be in the rotation, he's not even on the 40-man yet. And if the Indians left him unprotected, he would 100% be picked up by somebody. There's a lot to unpack there, but I can't see how you're going to have Mercado and Daniel Johnson and Harold. And there's just too many of these outfielders. There's too much of a logjam. And they're going to have to either package a bunch of these guys together for a major league, for some major league talent, or just cut bait with these guys. Because it's just not.
We have a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys. The question is, are they legit guys? And if we're talking about upping the payroll, what's that?
I said, just a lot of Jags, just a guy. You love that.
Yes. Not enough who's. But
yes, who's. That's right.
But here's, who, not how. But you look up and you go, all right, if we put Ahmed in left field next year, Straw in center, then right field is what, a combination or a, if it was just the guys now.
Harold, Zimmer, platoon.
Nolan Jones. You got to remember, he's there. Like, what if Nolan Jones is a big spring? You're not putting him at third base. Are you moving Jose to second? And
nope. You're not moving Jose anymore. Like the,
right. I think that ship has sailed.
If that was going to happen, it would have been 3 years ago at this point.
Then Josh Naylor comes back. Is Josh Naylor battling Bobby Bradley for first base?
We forgot about him. I mean, that's.
We got a lot of guys.
But it's so true. But I swear, we have this conversation all the time, and then we always forget. Naylor will be back next year. But yeah, Naylor may be the answer at first base if they don't think Bobby can do it.
So what do you do with Bobby Bradley?
What sucks for Bobby, but this is the thing that
sucks
for
Bobby. But Breaking Tee made a Bobby Bomb shirt. Is it going to be extinct?
No. Listen, my point is what sucks for Bobby is this was his time where he was going to play first base every day, and unfortunately he's been hurt for the last 2 weeks. He's been bad since the All-Star break and then hurt. That's not a good –
this is also a guy that took the ball opposite field over the wall for a walk-off homer. I mean, it's there.
It was there, baby. What are you talking about? Come on.
I mean, it's there. This is a good problem. At least we have a lot of options. But I still want to. If this team wants to take the next step, new name, the whole thing, the new logos, all these things. There's got to be an addition or two. It can't just be, we're going to bring all these guys back and open it back up. Because, no one's standing out. We're not sitting here going, he's a lot. Even Naylor, who's still young at 24, but it's not like we're sitting here going, he's definitely a guy. I mean, we love him. Josh plays hard. He has his moments, but he also has his stretches where it's like, geez, this guy is swinging over everything.
Yeah, and it's not like, his numbers were not exactly the greatest, but I'll tell you what I don't want to see anymore, Owen Miller playing first base. It's like,
Better than Yu Chang.
That's what's so frustrating is about Bobby Bradley being hurt. It's like right now, it's Owen Miller or you playing first base every day. Oh my God, it's like that. It's first base in Cleveland is now becoming the new center field,
Poor Owen, he cost us that game on – was it Thursday's day game? I mean, or was it the Wednesday night game?
No, it was when he kicked – it was the Thursday game. He kicked the ball in extra innings. But that was also the game where we had, a man on second with nobody out and in 3, 4, 5 coming up and the runner didn't advance. You had a man on second with nobody out and he didn't move for 3, 4, 5 and – those two losses in Minnesota, both times they deserved to lose with the way they executed. It's awful.
It was. It was bad. Dairy Brothers Tribecast, Matt and Todd with you and waiting for next year, .com. Tribe back at it on Tuesday, a little day off today after that trip to Williamsport. I got to read Zach Meisel's piece in The Athletic. I haven't yet. Where he kind of followed around. It sounds like he followed around Fran Mill, Jose, and Ahmed and stuff. And so that'll give us a little inside dirt on that trip. Chris Antonetti going down the grassy hill on the slide.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That was pretty cool.
Seeing that. It looked like they had a really great time, and it seemed like a great experience. And it was cool. I lost one of my games because of that, but because I'm I go every Sunday, but to the home games with Brooke. But it was worth it. We actually had a really good time watching that game. I thought it was very cool, all the pregame stuff, and being in the stadium, and I love those Great Lakes uniforms. I thought it was a cool
they were
thing.
Cool.
So yeah, it was a nice job. But before we go any further, let me tell you something. Do you know Ernie? You know Ernie Clement, right?
Uncle Ernie.
Ernie Clement has a beautiful smile. So much so that when I look at Ernie, when he's smiling, and he looks like Aaron Boone, by the way, look at those teeth and I say to myself, he's got to be going to the Center for Advanced Dentistry for the Chagrin Boulevard exit off of 271 on Orange Place right there in Beechwood. They will give you exceptional dentistry in a fun and relaxed atmosphere. And again, if you love the Indians and you love all things Cleveland sports, you can go in, grab a cup of coffee, talk to them, and then they will take care of your teeth, whether it's a routine cleaning, smile reconstruction, root canal, you name it, they do it over there at the Center for Advanced Dentistry. Plus, they're great guys, Dr. Sean, Dr. Ben. Give them a call, 216-595-1710, or again, check them out at cfad.net, the Center for Advanced Dentistry.
BreakingTee.com/Dairy has got all the t-shirts and the gear that you need if you're going to games like Todd does and you want to look good and you want even the new Guard the Land Guardian shirt that has the new font, the new look.
That shirt, by the way, shout out to the great Brian Snyder, when we went to pick up the kids at camp, I see him and he's wearing the Guard the Land shirt. And he looked, and I was like, I love that shirt. He's like, BreakingT.com/dairy. That's where I got it.
There
baby.
We go. There we go. We appreciate the love.
The P1 listener. He is his son. It's great.
But anything you need, Nick Chubb, new Nick Chubb gear and a new Chubb Browns shirt. I know the Super Bowl was yesterday at 1 o'clock. Ken Carmen on the sidelines for Browns Radio.
Sweating on the sidelines, Ken Carmen?
Does it get any better than that? But
oh, my God.
A dream
what
come
a great
true.
Bit.
A dream come true for Kenny. Such a good man. But, hey, man, anything you need and want, you have. This Tristan McKenzie, I told you, I was wearing my Sticks Tristan McKenzie T-shirt at the Indians unnamed game last Sunday, and people loved it. They're like, where'd you get that? Go to BreakingT.com/dairy. That takes you right to the Cleveland collection, and you can get whatever you want. Indians, Browns, Cavs, they've got it all at BreakingT.com. They got cool shirts. They make new stuff. Even unnamed fans, as your hero and savior hit his 500th home run yesterday, they have a 500th home run T-shirt for Miggy and I'm sure all of his families. So, different families. So, Breaking T, I thought that would get a laugh out of you. BreakingT.com/dairy or just BreakingT.com. Go there now. They have the best gear, no question about it. Todd, last night your favorite relief pitcher came in the eighth inning. And again, it got scary. Very scary.
First of all, that was hilarious, and I was on mute, so you didn't hear me laughing. But I didn't realize I was on mute. I was dying there. The families. Okay, so last night, as you know, I spent a little bit of time at the emergency pet vet last night, the emergency with Coco, which was not great. But, hey, she seems to be okay today, and yeah. But anyways, during that time, I was getting – texts from my daughter Brooke. You know her as number one Tribe fan. This is the text that I just got. They're interviewing Cal Quantrill right now. I can't check to see who's coming in. And then she put, oh, guess who it is? 99. He's tossing the ball up and down. Ugh. Why do they put him in out of all people? He always walks, guys.
She knows her stuff. She knows her stuff.
Long story short,
I mean,
he's been absolute
terrible,
shit since he can't use the sticky stuff to grip the ball. And he is – all right, I don't want to make personal attacks. I'm gonna stay above board.
Well,
let's just say that he's not good.
Not and right now.
I think the league knows he's not good. And – the Indians should have traded him at the deadline when they had the opportunity to do so. I think that unless he can somehow figure out how to grip the ball, this is what it's going to be like.
Well,
he commands one pitch at a time.
Yeah,
that's it, and the team figures it out within one batter.
He's having a rough couple months, and it's obvious that whether it was sunscreen he was using or whatever, he can't anymore. But sitting here saying we should have traded him,
yeah, why not?
He's young, controllable. He's a little bit of an idiot, but like,
what's exactly my point.
But is he tearing through the clubhouse, and you have to get rid of him? Is that where we're at? I don't think we're at that point.
I don't think that he's anyone's favorite in there. I think they all think he's a total fucking lunatic. I think the front office knows that he's a total fucking lunatic. And if he is that good of a relief pitcher, then maybe you get some serious quality in return for him. I would have been fine with it. I'm on record as saying that I have a very hard time cheering for him. I want him to do well because he's on my team, but I have a very hard time rooting for him. I just do.
I think that they're going to have to give him – they're going to have to work with him in the offseason. They're going to have to figure something out. It's obvious they have faith in him. They would not have brought him in last night in a three-run game.
Any other options? Who else were you going to go?
Well, you could have brought Shaw in the eighth. You could have brought Whitgren in. I'm saying to start the eighth when DeMarlo Hale shook Cal Quantrill's hand after 92 pitches in the seventh inning and said you're done. They had a plan, and the plan was Karinchak into Class A. So if they think he's terrible, they wouldn't have made the decision to put him out there last night, is my point. Shaw was healthy enough to pitch. So was Wittgren. It's not like those guys were overused before that. You know, there's not a lot of options after that because Nick Sandlin's hurt, and you know they tried Francisco Perez for a second, and Blake Parker's not coming in. So they still think he can do it, or else they wouldn't have put him in last night. My point is, there something's going to have to be figured out this offseason. Like, what? Okay, James, here are the rules now. You can't use this now. So what are they going to do to help him with his spin rate and to get back? That's why the pitching factory is what it is. But right now, yeah, he seems like a lost cause. He's putting guys on, and he can't, like you said, you're right. He can't grip the ball. But it's not like his velo's down to 90 and he's a shell of himself. It's still there, but it's not working.
Yeah, without that spin rate, you look at the numbers, it's not even close. It's like you look at April and May, and then you look from the crackdown day on, and it's like, you know, he's way off, and his walks are way up, his strikeouts are way down. The velocity's still there, but when it's dead straight at 98, you know, that's a different story. And, you know, these are major league hitters. They're going to have to obviously ride it out with him, and you know, I understand. But look at how Clase has been since the All-Star break. You know, he's allowed one run in the last 18, since the All-Star break, he's allowed one run. And that was the walk-off homer to Jed Lowry in Oakland, which was the first game after the All-Star break. Since then, 17 straight appearances without giving up a run. It's been awesome. And remember, he was struggling with his command, and now he's got no command issues. He's really, you know, he's really kicked it up a notch. And I love Clase. Huge fan. That's your closer, and they were splitting the role for a long time. But here, this is more proof. When was the last time he's gone to Karinchak in the ninth for a save? He can't.
No.
Sorry, 99.
No.
He can't because he can't be trusted.
No, not right now.
He's become the full time closer at this point, which is good for 10% capacity as we go into the playoffs.
Yeah, Manny's been. Hey, Manny, talk about the Yankees. I think he's been great. And he's the one guy you're relying on. And you look ahead to next year and you go, all right, a healthy Sandlin back will be a part of that mix. Who knows about Karinchak? I don't, you know, Brian Shaw, will he be back next year? Probably. Why wouldn't he be? I mean,
unless someone wants to give him like real money.
I get that he's not been good lately, and that, but the guy pitches every day.
He really is unbelievable.
I mean, for the people that think, oh, Shaw again, he's terrible. I mean, last night he came in, and whether you like him or not, that 5-4-3 double play was huge. I mean, he made the pitch. So,
oh my God, was that awesome or what? Especially because he bailed out 99.
That was much needed. So, but there's
it's
other
a good
guys.
Turn.
There's other
yes,
guys.
Also.
There's other guys coming too, which will be, you know, and you know, Zach Meisel's guy, Anthony Gose. I know he's an option. I think next year. I think they're
what
finally
about Robert Broom.
But you know, and again, one of these guys, whether it's Henches, Mejia, one of these guys is going to be turned into a reliever. You don't need all these starters.
Yeah.
If you've got Morgan and Morris as 6-7. Going into spring training next year, and everybody's healthy, you know, maybe JC, maybe Henches. I would put Sam Henches in the bullpen right now.
I would too. We've been talking about this for months. Sam, to me, is a power left-handed reliever. That's his future.
No doubt.
Good stuff.
What else?
We want to get into some pitching matchups. Did we catch everything on the list? I think we got everything. Yeah.
Let's go over to some Yankee business.
That's right. Let's talk about we'll go to some baseball business.
Right, man. That's a great bit. Great old bit right there. What time we got here? Mondays, man.
Yeah, these Mondays are rough. All right. So here.
I'm all out of sorts.
I'll start the pitching.
We got a big week this week.
Yeah, we got the Rangers.
No, I'm not talking about on the field. I'm talking about off the field.
Oh, well, listen.
Big birthday week.
We'll close the show with that on after we do the pitching matchup. So you got three against Texas.
Yes.
And three against the Boston Red Sox. And it looks like, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, Tuesday will be Eli Morgan.
Yes.
Against Taylor Chick Hearn. I've never heard of him before. Taylor Hearn, have you ever heard?
They don't look alike. Taylor Hearn is an African American. Chick Hearn wasn't even. But yes, Taylor Hearn is a left-hander. That's correct.
Oh, which means we get Yu Chang at first base. Wednesday, Zach Plesac.
Correct.
Needs to step it up a little bit against Mike Fulton-Evans, former Brave.
I mean, that guy's still pitching. Fulty, he's like 2-12.
The Rangers, seven with a 7.11 ERA away from home. That's pretty good.
The Rangers, the Rangers are just booty. I mean, they're terrible.
Just awful. Talk about another franchise who never has good pitching. And then Thursday, right now is showing TBA for the Tribe, but that would be the Henschus Stefan piggyback spot.
Correct.
But they have an off day Monday, so you never know, against former Philly farmhand Spencer Howard.
Didn't know that he was Spencer Barnes Howard.
Does he have his togs? Is he going to be wearing his togs?
Cubs are going to kick butt.
Friday night.
I love it. Keep rolling. Keep rolling.
Tristan McKenzie.
Yes.
Going back for another big start against left-hander Eduardo Rodriguez.
No one gets more run support than that guy. You ever notice, like, it's like Eduardo Rodriguez gets the win for the Red Sox, but he gave up 5 runs, but they won 8-5.
It's like Charlie Nagy 1995. Like, I think he won like 15 games with like every time it was like, hey, the Indians won today 12-5.
I know.
Then you got Saturday, which I'll be in attendance with P1 listener Andrew Rafael. This is a national game.
Randy's in town.
Yes, he is. We got FS1 national game. Cal Quantrill against Nathan Eovaldi.
Correct. Wait, now let me ask you this: that you just have 2 tickets for Saturday, right? You don't have a third ticket for Ed's slot.
I don't, unfortunately. He can Ed how's the slot? Can sit on my lap.
He can ask about RMDs.
And then Sunday, Eli Morgan against TBA for the Red Sox.
Right. It could be that Tanner Houck guy, because he pitched Tuesday, but we're missing Chris Sale and we miss Nick Pavetta. So I don't know. I always like getting a piece of Chris Sale. It seems like the Indians have had decent swings against him.
Good success against him in his career. I feel like when he was on the Sox and he was peaking, we always beat him for some reason.
I agree. No, we had good success against him.
Yeah, so that's exciting. I'm looking forward to being down there this weekend. Also, Sunday, the executive producer and I are going to see the 40th anniversary of Stripes.
I mean,
at the Valley View Theater. How good is that?
That is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Green screen, baby.
Is that in like HD? How does that work?
I don't know. I would imagine so.
I'm assuming that they maneuvered that somehow. What a great film! That's our second Stripes reference. Now third Stripes reference of the day.
The executive producer and I are going Sunday, so that'll be very exciting. But as we close the show, we would be remiss if we did not celebrate and shout out on Wednesday a big milestone birthday for our mother, the great Patty D.
Does she ever listen to the show or no?
I think once, like 2 years ago.
I don't think she has time.
Here's the thing. She would if I told her, here's the link, click on this and then listen. But she's not exactly adept at going to the podcast app on her phone.
Technology is not her strong suit. That's for sure.
She does walk a lot and she does have AirPods.
Whoa, that's a big step.
I got her for Mother's Day. So she could at least she could listen, but
Mother's Day, the mother of all male days.
That's right. But special shout out. We won't give it away, but big happy birthday to our mother. We love you. And
big one.
Big Browns fan, big Tribe fan. She's very much looking forward to the Browns season.
I wouldn't call her a big Tribe fan. She loves her football. No. She loves the Browns. Never misses a game.
Never has her whole life.
This is a big week. So, all right. Well, let's keep the good times rolling here. Off a sweep of the Angels, the Rangers are terrible. So that should be you know, that should be a good series. I'd love to just keep the momentum going and stay over 500 and do our business. And then the Red Sox play a little spoiler next week, and always love beating them if we can.
Absolutely.
They've faded big time lately.
Yeah, I think the A's are tied with them for the second wild card right now. In fact, I know they are. So they're fading. And listen, I nothing worse than the mass holes. So anytime that any team from Boston doesn't do well is fine with me. Or chokes, should I say.
All right.
Yankees overtook them. Yankees are 3 in front of them at this point.
That's crazy. Actually, is it that crazy when you pick up Anthony Rizzo and what's his name? Why is it
Joey Gallo?
Yeah, I mean, is it really that crazy? So, all right, that'll do it for the Dairy Brothers Tribecast. We're out of room and out of here.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to 2 readers about 1 book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.